Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We get to discuss the new Netflix show Ripley, and we will get into it. But first, TV news. I will go first and say I need to fess up that I fell for a April Fool's Day thing, and I spread the lies on this podcast, and I feel like I need to correct myself because Severance is not premiering on June 22nd. I should have used, or 21st, I should have used my, like, skills of, like, they literally just started filming that, which is why I was like, it's so soon. Anyway, it's not. I fell for an April Fool's joke. The internet is getting harder and harder and harder to be literate, and it's actually really scary. So, sorry to everyone and myself, mostly myself.
It's just disappointing that, yeah, we're not getting it as soon. And then it's just kind of a stupid prank. It's like, that is just so, they should have pranked it in the way where you say something negative and that's what's fake, and then the reveal is that everything's fine. Like, they should have been like, unfortunately, it's canceled permanently.
Yeah, that would have been funnier. Yeah.
And then they're like, actually, it's coming back this summer. That would have been way good. This is stupid. Well, we all accept your apology, so thank you.
Thank you.
A Legally Blonde spinoff television series is in the works from the creators of Gossip Girl, and it's going on Prime.
Original Gossip Girl or second gen Gossip Girl?
Good question. It is the creators of the OG Gossip Girl.
Okay, that's fun. That's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, I think that's all I can really say about it. Interesting. I love Legally Blonde. I don't necessarily think that a show is needed, but interesting.
Yeah. I was just going to say interesting again.
It's literally all that can be said about this.
Okay, well, here's some original content for us to be excited about. HBO is going to be, gave the green light for a new half-hour comedy called The Chair Company, starring Tim Robinson. And it's from Tim Robinson and his writing partner, and executive produced by Adam McKay, which I was like, oh, there's so many words here. HBO, Tim Robinson, Adam McKay, that are like the biggest green lights for us at Girl Meets Show. And apparently it's going to follow a man who finds himself investigating a far-reaching conspiracy after an embarrassing incident at work. And I cannot wait.
Yes, I don't even have anything to add, just all thumbs up for all those things. Very excited. Speaking of HBO Adam McKay shows, J. Smith Cameron from Succession is going to be in Hacks season 3. Yay.
That was great news. I wonder if she'll play, she kind of seems like she could play her sister or something.
Yeah, they are really similar. Like, I can kind of wonder if J. Smith Cameron was, like, up for that role, you know?
Yeah.
The vibes are strong.
I could see it.
So, yeah, very happy about that.
Did you happen to watch the trailer that dropped for the new season of the Selling the OC?
Yes. How did you know that that's literally what I was looking at right now? And I did watch it, which is so funny because, like, I didn't even watch season 2, but season 3 gave me FOMO. And it looks way more entertaining than Selling Sunset.
Wait, how many seasons of this has there been?
This is the trailer for season 3.
Oh, now I'm confused if I watched season 2 or not. I have no idea. That's so funny. I don't know if I watched it, but yeah, it looked good.
Yeah, it did.
Especially because, like, we're on the cusp of, like, hearing a little bit more on, like, the Brittany Snow relationship, And like they kiss in this trailer.
Well, I recently heard somewhere that kind of was like setting me up to be intrigued by this season 3 trailer, because I was spoiled that those two people in the show like make out at the end of season 2. It's like how the season ends, and it's like, oh,
okay,
what?
Then I must not have seen season 2.
Yeah. But I was like clutching my pearls watching that trailer. I was like, oh my gosh. Because, yeah, the last time I saw him, all he talked about was how he was married to Brittany Snow. And that one other coworker, like, tried to kiss him once and everyone, like, flipped out. And now mm-hmm. here he is kissing everyone at a work function.
Well, and I remember us talking about how he was going to leave the show to, like, be with his dad's practice.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, wow. This feels like that was like a fever dream that we collectively had or something. Like, but yeah, I'm kind of in. I'm sat for this show all of a sudden. I might need to watch season 2 and get ready.
Yeah, we will.
Wow. I'm so glad we were on that same page, unbeknownst to each other.
Me too.
I love when that happens.
I love that.
Let's see, because that's what I was going to talk about next. So moving on.
Sorry.
Love it. I saw today that they announced that John Mulaney is getting a 6-episode special called Everybody's in LA at Netflix. And it looks like it's going to be like weekly, which is interesting for Netflix. And
it's weird.
It's like him.
Did you watch the trailer?
Yeah, I did. And it's like, so he's going to be interviewing like Jerry Seinfeld and David Letterman and Chris Rock and other. And I'm like, haven't I seen this show like a million times with different hosts? Like, isn't that what David Letterman's show was also on Netflix? It's like comedians getting coffee. I feel like from this pitch, I've kind of seen it, you know? That was my mm-hmm. vibe, at least.
Like, it's weird because in this trailer, like, one of the biggest things that deals they're making about it is that it's going to be live. So, like, it's live no matter where you are. It's at 7 p.m. Pacific time. So, like, that's the time it's on. But it's part of, like, the Netflix is a Joke festival.
Oh,
which is always confusing to me, too.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It says it's only on for 1 week.
Oh, I was thinking
so
that
I
it was
don't
like,
think it's weekly.
It was like starting May 3rd and then like every Friday at the same time it was going to be like that. But I'm
maybe
wrong,
it's every day for 1 week at 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Hmm.
And it's live.
Well, at this point in the age of streaming, forcing me to watch something at a certain time feels like it's infringing on my rights.
Well, and I was kind of confused if it was like, if you didn't watch it live, can you still watch it?
That seems like it would be really stupid of them not to make it available after it's live.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm confused.
Weird.
For sure.
I was confused too. I haven't totally read up on this thing, but I'm going to say it anyway. Apparently, Mindy Kaling has an ensemble comedy called Murray Hill that was picked up by Hulu. It's apparently, the comedy revolves around 5 work-obsessed 20-somethings who strive for professional success, and if they have time, personal happiness in Manhattan's most glamorous neighborhood, Murray Hill. Mindy's been busy.
Yes. It's weird that she's working on so many projects all at the same time.
I know. Like, how does a person do that? I don't know. But that premise sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, it does.
I shall watch.
Does it, did you already say what platform it's on?
Hulu.
Okay. Dang. It's always interesting when someone can have, like, a contract with everybody. Like, she has her big Netflix basketball show, and now
mm-hmm.
Hulu. I don't know. She's doing it right. She got HBO money. Also, that show is not canceled either. Sex Lives of College Girls. So is she gonna have like
no, she's still three, working on that too.
Three simultaneous shows on all these different streamers. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is my last one actually. Is it was interesting because I saw this going around that they're like, oh, the first like revealed scene from The Bear season 3, but then it had to be pulled down everywhere because FX was like, that was leaked from our shareholder meeting. No one was supposed to see that.
Oh, interesting. I had it bookmarked. I had a tweet bookmarked with that thing in it, and then it was like no longer available.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know why, but they like literally confirmed that it was leaked from their shareholder meeting.
Yeah, like the it's funny because in my bookmarks, it's one is that removed clip, like first clip from The Bear season 3. And then the next bookmark I have is Hollywood Reporter saying FX condemns use of The Bear season 3 clip leaked from shareholder meeting. So condemn, that's just a really strong word.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
Yeah, loose lips sink ships.
Interesting. My last piece of news is that The White Lotus is officially filming. And like there were some fun like cast photos of them like boating, and it already looked really cool and fun, and they're like black and white photos. Can't wait. Like was previously mentioned, this week we watched Ripley on Netflix, which is a new 8-episode series. That's actually, I learned, based on books, which I didn't know. And then also, there's a movie, The Talented Mr. Ripley, which I had never seen before. And Jordan had seen it, but rewatched it. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
In preparation for this show. And if you've never seen it, you should definitely watch it. I really liked it. Did it hold up for you?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I watched it when I was younger, and there was a lot that I didn't remember. But all-star cast, the way I was thinking about it was like the vibes are so good and so bad. Like which I think you could say for the show too, cuz it's like it's just like glamorous but also like evil. Like it's a lot it's very good. Like, spoiler, I like the movie and I like the show.
I literally, like, didn't know anything about the storyline or plot. Like, I had only seen, like, pictures of Matt Damon, Jude Law, and, what's her name? Gwyneth Paltrow, like, on a sailboat. Like, that was the only reference I had to the show. And so consider me shocked when I watch the show and it's actually, like, weird. Like, it is pretty, like, it's pretty weird.
Yeah.
And like a little violent and a little quirky and dark. Like I was surprised that like this show that I've like always heard about and thought was just kind of like a classic had so many like twists and turns and was so dark. I loved it.
Especially how it is all these actors now, like everyone in this movie, like Cate Blanchett in like a really small part. That was shocking to me. I did not remember that she was in it. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Looks exactly the same.
Yes. And it's so funny with all these like extremely mainstream actors in a movie that feels like indie almost in how like kind of artsy and bizarre it is, which is really fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I just say, I bet that just from the title alone, I don't really know if people would know that it's the same story as The Talented Mr. Ripley. Because I feel like that title is very known. For me, when I saw the trailer of the Netflix show, I had to like look it up. I was like, this is like the movie, right? So like that's kind of an interesting thing that it's just only called Ripley.
It is interesting, and I wonder if it'll help people watch it more or hurt from people watching. I don't know, it could go both ways.
It's a great question.
But the premise of the show is that Tom Ripley is sent to Italy by, oh my gosh, what's the main guy's name?
Dickie Greenleaf. How could you forget that name?
Dickie Greenleaf. I can't believe I did. Dickie Greenleaf's father pays for Tom to go to Italy to try to like get Dickie to come back to the back to America, basically. And Tom decides that he wants to live as Dickie Greenleaf instead, and kind of how he goes about that is twisty and turny. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. I really think, like, I wouldn't want to give anything away, you know? If you know the story of the movie, like, there's not many maybe surprises, but if you're not familiar with either, I think you should just go in blind.
Yeah, I agree. I know, I kind of struggle with that too, because I'm like, technically there's not that much we can spoil, because this is a movie that's like so old.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, if you haven't seen it like me, it best to go unspoiled. So for our top three, we are saying three TV characters whose lives we would want to steal. This was actually harder than I thought it would be, but I'm excited to hear who yours are. Who's one of yours?
My number three, I picked Mabel from Only Murders in the Building, Selena Gomez.
Okay.
First of all, I just am jealous of her life. I cannot actually remember where the latest season left off, because I think she might be broke. But for a while, she has like this beautiful apartment. I don't think she has a job. She just paints all day. She solves mysteries with these fun old men in her building. That is such a fun life, and I'm jealous of her, and I would like to be her.
I mean, it does leave off with her kind of like dating what's his name from Grey's Anatomy, isn't she?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that part. So, yeah, they see?
Dream life. Yeah, when I was thinking of this, I was like, okay, who are characters who have a lot of money and not a lot of responsibility?
Exactly. Yes.
Because that is literally my dream life.
Yeah. That was that's the perfect way to say it so simply, because I was trying to come up with a way to say that, and that's it.
My number three person is someone who does actually have a job, but it's Mindy from The Mindy Project, which, LOL, we were just talking about her.
Wow, yeah.
Just because she, although she is a doctor, she just somehow made it seem really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it just like, she was a doctor, but like, did she go to school? I don't know.
She seemed like, the way she helped her patients was like mostly on vibes.
Yeah, which sounds great.
Yeah.
And then still got to be around like other hot, cool doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And also had money.
Exactly. And again, another beautiful apartment.
Yeah.
Love it. This one really, really lines up with all of these requirements. And that is Carrie Bradshaw, specifically in And Just Like That, because she like shows up to do a podcast every once in a while. She wrote a book. She has tons of money. She's inherited from Big. And she just like gets to live in New York City in her apartment and like have fun all day with her friends.
Yeah. Yeah, like she doesn't really have a lot of like, the saddest part of her life is that like her boyfriend has kids.
Literally.
My number two is kind of similar to your number one. Yours is probably more age appropriate. I said Olivia Colman's character in Fleabag.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Cause she can just like make her weird art, but like her husband has money and she doesn't really need to worry about that.
Seriously.
And I mean, if I were her, I would want to have a relationship with my stepdaughters. But could take that or leave that, you know? Just,
yeah, she does.
Live.
Totally. It really sounds great.
It does.
My number one. This one, logistically, this would be really hard because she's already has a dual identity. But I do want to be a secretly famous pop star. So I picked Hannah Montana.
When you said dual, I was like, it's got to be Hannah Montana.
And it was. But it really is the perfect life, kind of, because you, just like the song says, you get the best of both worlds. Because you can.
That is what the song says.
You don't have to deal with, like, the mob parts of being famous. And
yeah,
you could just also be regular. But I would be having to do it. I'm also pretending to be Miley, because I'm not really Miley. Like, so it's a little complicated. Miley as in Miley, whatever the normal, her normal character name
is. I can't remember what her last name is.
It's definitely not Cyrus. It's whatever else.
But it's weird that her first name is Miley.
Yeah.
No, that's a perfect answer. My number one... there really isn't that many characters. Like, there was a lot of characters where I was like, like, I wouldn't really want to deal with that. Like, yeah. I honestly wouldn't want their life, mm-hmm. which is interesting. I thought there would be, like, a lot of people where I'd be like, oh, yeah. So this might sound silly, but I said Shiv. Mostly because, like, Shiv really does have she has the means to, like, do whatever the hell she wants. Like, she yes. just technically, like, I think it's because she... like the option for power is like in eyesight, she wants it, mm-hmm. but like she doesn't actually have to. Like, for most of her life, she's like done her own thing and been totally fine. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, I wouldn't want to be like married to one of them. Like, I was thinking about Marsha, but I was like, I wouldn't want to be married to Logan. And, like, I wouldn't have wanted to be married to Kendall, but I just want access to that money.
You don't
want to
be Willa?
Go to Disneyland.
Seriously. No, that's a great answer, because it would just be like alternate universe Shiv, where like Shiv doesn't try to be in Waystar Royco. Like,
yeah,
she could stay a political consultant, or she could do nothing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
I like it. You and have, she was like, born into the it. Real Shiv, like, tied up somewhere, like, let me out. And you're like, no, I'm going to live your life the way you should have lived it.
You're stupid.
I'm doing this for you.
Okay, I think, I mean, you already said you liked the show. I also liked the show, Ripley. I thought it was, like, one of the prettiest TV shows I've ever seen. I was scared at first because I was like, oh, I really did not realize that this really is all in black and white. And it made me a little bit sleepy in the beginning. But then once I was like paying attention to every single shot, it was like the way it's lit. Every scene is stunning. Every single scene.
There were so many really cool shots from like really far away or... of like through windows and through like
chains, stone walls. Or like,
yeah, it was mm-hmm. it was really, really cool. It's true. I think, because something that I would caution people of is like, I think this show is really, really good. It's also very slow and quiet, so it's like you have to have like patience while you're watching it, you know, and you really mm-hmm. you do need to focus on it. So it's kind of like, it's not like, I don't know. I think it has the potential to be a crowd pleaser, and I think anyone would enjoy it, but you just have to be aware that it's a really quiet and slow show.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, and I think that you'll maybe start to think like it's a show you can like watch do stuff on your phone or like be doing another thing. But then you'll realize that you're missing out on stuff when you do that. That's at least how I felt.
Mm-hmm. Totally. There are times, I mean, yeah, I had to rewind a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But
same.
I think it's worth the effort that it takes, for sure.
I agree. The casting was amazing. I thought that Dakota Fanning was incredible.
I was blown away by her. Also, like, wow, wow, wow. Also, like, I think that this is, she looked so beautiful in the show, too. Like, it just, yes, it suited her perfectly. She looked so beautiful. And, like, the style and the setting, the black and white, I was like, I don't know. I almost felt like I never appreciated how beautiful she actually is. Until I watched this.
Well, I've always felt like she just always looks like a little girl to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because I like loved Uptown Girls so much when I was younger, mm-hmm. but like she just looks so young to me. And then, but she really looked like mature in this. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is like a perfect role for you to like kind of break out of that.
It's so true. Because I think something that I think we talked about when the trailer for this dropped, like during our TV news segment about it, and I was like, the age differences between these three characters is really weird of this casting, because like Dakota's mm-hmm. so young, Andrew Scott is older than both of them, because in the movie they're all basically the exact same age.
Yeah.
And but it actually worked, like it didn't really matter, like it didn't, I think that in the movie, I wonder if they must have adjusted it or something from the book and made it like, oh, we actually were at school at the same time. Like, I remember Dickie and stuff like that. But in this one, it's like Tom Ripley's just some random guy. Like,
yeah, he says he saw him at like met him at a party.
Yeah. So it didn't matter that they weren't the same grade in college or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like the actor that played Dickie, I think he's like 9 years older than Dakota. So it didn't feel too far off.
No, it didn't. It never, nothing about it felt creepy with these age differences.
No.
It all worked.
It all worked. There, yeah. There was a fun Succession cameo, which I loved.
That was so random. It was so funny. I knew you were going to love that.
I won't spoil it for everyone, but watch for that. And yeah, I think literally anyone could watch it. There's definitely, like I said previously, like there are some dark scenes and it's like a little bit graphic, but the black and white kind of helps with that. It doesn't seem as, I think if it were not in black and white, it would have been a little bit more close your eyes maybe.
Yeah.
But it's still like very jarring, but yeah, I think literally everyone would like this.
I totally agree.
At least people with taste.
Exactly. It's a good test of if you have good taste or not.
Can we talk spoilers just for a quick second?
Yes, let's do it.
One thing that was different in this versus the movie is that Dakota Fanning's character in Ripley started off very like hesitant, but then kind of changed into like a fan of Tom's in the end. And I don't know how I felt about that. I kind of liked her being more hesitant at the end.
I almost felt like she was like messing with him or something, because it did seem like so different that she's like, sure, I'll stay at your nice, big, beautiful house. But I was like, I bet she can tell he doesn't want her to or something like that. Because she was like, I don't want to leave yet.
I felt like that part was, she was still hesitant at that point. Mm-hmm. But like when she finds the ring, I was shocked that she like believed his story, and then he like, when he decided not to kill her, like I was shocked by that. Where in the movie she like is visibly upset when they like don't believe her and like choose to believe him and kind mm-hmm. of let him off the hook.
That's true. I read the Wikipedia of the book, and mm-hmm. that's how it goes down in the book too. She finds the ring and she's like, oh, it actually must have been a suicide or something.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. It's just interesting. I'm glad we watched the movie. I like seeing those subtle differences, because
me too.
Marge was probably one of the most different parts of like how yes. Gwyneth played her versus Dakota. Something that I thought was interesting that it didn't have as much of in the show was that I couldn't, in the movie, it's a big part of the plot that, like, Tom is, like, in love with Dickie, at least a little bit, you know? Like, in a very Saltburn kind of way. Like, he actually does, like, want to be with Tom, and that's part of his anger that leads him to kill him is, like, he's rejected, you know? And so I was kind of hoping for more, like, kind of that queer aspect. Part of it. Yeah, yeah, we didn't get to see Dickie's butt in this one, unfortunately. But, like, I thought that was interesting that, like, they do make mention of, like, people suspect that Tom is gay. But, like, he just seems, like, bored with Dickie. Like, he never seems that, like, in love with him. He for me, it definitely seems like he's in love with his life and he's in love with that money. But it doesn't seem
about
like
the money.
There's such an emotional tie there, you know? So that was interesting. I thought I was like, I almost expected them to go further with that in the Netflix show.
Yeah, I agree. The last thing I was going to say, oh, actually two more things. Also, another thing that was different that I thought was interesting was obviously the no, Kate Blanchett's character. She was not, like, that wasn't a thing at all in the show. And it didn't need to be, so I was fine with it. I actually kind of preferred it because that was a little stressful to me in the movie.
Totally.
And then also, like, the no pregnant, like, mistress.
Seriously, it did feel like in the movie there were so many clear reasons of, like, building up to Dickie, like, kind of flipping out on Tom and then, like, escalating into them fighting. Like, Dickie, like, tried to strangle Tom at first. And then when, like, Matt Damon kills him, it's like, well, like, Dickie was going to throw him out the boat or something. Like, it was, like, kind of more emotional that with all those different things set up, like, Dickie was kind of on the edge of a breakdown already in a way. And in this one, it was like, Dickie is kind of just this normal guy. Like, he, I felt like Dickie's character was so different than Jude Law's version of him in the movie, where he is like, he's playing the saxophone all the time. And, like, he is like this golden boy but party guy, and, like, he's kind of flamboyant, and he's like, all like the line about, like, oh, like, when he smiles on you, like, the sun is shining, and then he'll go dark. And it's like, in the show, like, the Johnny Flynn version was kind of just this, like, regular dude. I thought that was kind of interesting.
I agree, and I thought it was interesting because it's like, okay, so this is an 8-episode series, so they have, like, quadruple the amount of time to spend on it, but they actually cut a lot of things. So then I was kind of like, what exactly are they filling our time with? Because they're not really adding anything. They're actually just taking stuff away. It still worked for me and I liked what they did, but I still kind of was scratching my head with, like, how are we filling our time here? I mean, it was with, like, a lot of beautiful shots and just, like, taking scenes that and, like, expounding on them, so it worked, but I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, totally. I think, like, I mean, there were so many long scenes of, like, Andrew Scott with, like, no talking even, like, something that I loved about this was that it was really funny. Like, if you put in the effort and you're watching closely, it is funny. Like, how, like, the logistics of getting rid of bodies, and he's like, oh, the elevator's broken again. I was, like, cracking up. Like, he has to move this heavy body down the stairs because, yes, yet again, the elevator's broken. Like, and he's so frustrated, but he's also, like, he's conveying all this without talking. Like, it was, honestly, I was thinking, wow, like, do we need a series of this version of this iconic movie and, I guess, an iconic book? A book series? Like, I didn't know it was books either until I was reading about it on Wikipedia. And But I'm like, yeah, we did need this because we need a showcase of how good Andrew Scott is at like being this weird character who is like, they make Andrew Scott like with so awkward and like social, like socially awkward at times and stuff. So yeah, it's really it's a really interesting series. Another thing I was going to say was that they also filled the time with like way more of the police side of things than the movie had. Because in the movie, I was just kind of like, it was like obligatory police in, like investigations, and it didn't really go that deep into it. And in this, I liked that how that policeman kept showing up to like interview.
I loved Tom. That investigator.
Like he was awesome. So I really liked, I liked that they had more of that, but.
But
you're right.
That's my one complaint too, because I loved that detective guy. But why in the world did he not ask for a photo? Because they were like putting so much in the newspaper and like talking about how they're searching for this person. Why wouldn't they include a photo of the person that they're searching for?
Oh, it's also that we can have that amazing moment at the end when he sees the picture of the real Dickie in the book. That I was like screaming.
It was worth it, but was still a little infuriating
to me. Especially because, like, he's clearly good at his job in many ways, but...
Yeah.
Those little basics. So wild.
Yeah. I think that's all I have. I'm curious to see... I read also that there's more books, so I wonder if they would make more.
I was wondering that, too. I was so surprised that it's, like, they've made... other movies of some of those other books. I was like, what? Like, this is not part of my cultural knowledge at all. Like,
they have made other movies of the other books,
like in the 90s, that, because something I read was like, there's one, I think it's called Ripley's Game or something, and John Malkovich plays Tom Ripley in that movie, and he was in randomly like in these last episodes of the Netflix series, so it's kind of like a little Easter egg that John Malkovich was in this at all. But it's just so funny because I'm like, so they made movies of these sequels, but it's not part of like a movie series. They just like picked like one of them to make a random movie. I thought that was really interesting.
Very interesting. Wow. Loved it. Loved seeing Andrew Scott again. He has such a prominent forehead. That was one of the things I was noticing.
I noticed that he got way better looking as the series went on because he had like facial hair. It's like he is a fair featured man. Like he needs.
You liked his facial hair?
I liked it by the end because I felt like looking at his face, it was just looking at like a white, very, very plain white face with like two big black eye like dots in the middle of his face. I was like, he needs like more eyebrow and he needed a little more facial hair, and so I thought he looked better at the end personally.
That's funny. I did not like his facial hair. I was like, this looks too patchy, and I just wasn't really a fan of the facial hair. So there's our opposing views.
Big debate.
The only other thing I meant to say earlier is that it's the same director who directed The Night Of, which I thought was fun.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
I didn't realize that. That's all. Okay, who's your crush of the week?
I feel like it has to be Andrew Scott. I just, like, couldn't believe, like, if you add up all of his screen time, but then, like, compare it to how many actual lines he has, like, it was just amazing how compelling he is without even speaking. Like, so much, it was almost like he was doing, like, mime work or something, but, like, still telling, like, you could still see his thought process. Like, I was very, very impressed with him. Like, we knew he's good, but this was really different for him, and I was pretty blown away.
Yeah, I was proud of him. Especially the scenes where he's by himself and doing like monologues, like,
like
acting out conversations that he's having with other people. those scenes were nuts because it's like he's acting alone.
It was, yeah, he was so good. I also loved like when he's talking on the phone with like Marge, for example, and he like hates every second of it, but he's like, good, I'm doing great. Like it was just funny. Like he was so funny. And he also, it was weird because like it made me want to watch Fleabag immediately, even though he said don't stop watching Fleabag, but no, I want to watch it more now because I want to see him being like the most charismatic human being in the world. And in this, he was like not charismatic at all. Like people did not like him that he would be talking to. They'd be like, oh, this mm-hmm. is an uncomfortable conversation with this like strange
Which
guy.
Is crazy that he was still able to get away with so much.
Yes.
And get so many people to do stuff for him because he, yeah, charming was not really his thing.
No. That was, I guess that's one more thing, not to bring up the movie again, but it was so interesting because like Matt Damon's version, he was extremely charming. Like all those parents loved him and mm-hmm. he was like a golden boy in the opposite way of Jude Law's type of golden boy. That's like this womanizer and like everyone's like he charms the pants off you. Whereas like Matt Damon was like, oh, he's the boy you want to bring home to meet your mom. Like, cause he was like good in school and he played the piano, like that he was actually talented, Mr. Ripley. And then Andrew Scott's version is like a bum. Like his whole thing is that he's a con man in New York. I was really, mm-hmm. I was like taken aback by that. And it was so interesting. Although I guess he did become a pretty good painter. Like he was better at painting than Dickie, I guess. But I liked that whole thing too.
He got that on him.
Yeah, like it was so interesting how similar, so much was like the exact same as that movie, and so much was really different. It was cool.
Yeah, it was fascinating. I loved it. Highly recommend. And I guess that's it. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.